Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Heart, soul, and mind will be touched on tonight. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for our laying down and our early rising this morning. We were in our right mind that we're able to come on this call and to share what you have put in us, Lord, after we have read and studied and labored, Lord, all day long and given you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Bless every man that's on this call, Lord. Continue to use us. Continue us to fill us with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, use our gifts and stir them up in us, Lord, so that we can share on this podcast that it will go from every heart, every mind, every soul, and every spirit. Father, we continue to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you, Lord, that you even said in your word that the steps of a good man are ordered by you, and you delighteth in his ways. Father, continue to be with us, continue to lead us and guide us by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and let all God's people say, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Woo! Hey, we here. The enemy tried to put some roadblocks in the way. Hey, but we still here, man, and the show gonna go on, man. Really good week since last week. God's been doing a lot of good things for me, man. Mm-hmm. Justin, hey, I gotta stop. Justin, I'm muted.
Hey, how you doing? I finally got it.
Hey, man, I gotta stop. You don't hit that unmute, but everything stopped. What's up? Tell me about yourself. Who invited you?
Mr. Clash invited me. My name is Justin McDaniels. I'm 35 years old, 3 kids. Was about to get married 2 weeks ago, called it off.
Ah, I remember you. You remember me?
No, from where?
From the hospital.
Yeah, we worked there for a long time.
How you doing, man?
All right, how you be?
Man, good to see you, man. Hey, Brother George thought it was a probationary period. We don't have no probationary period. Once you log on, you are immediately family. We brothers. Good to have you all, man. You know, thanks. We had some technical difficulties. Really don't understand what happened, but hey, the enemy always try to keep God's words and God's glory and his promises. I'm always going forward, but we're here. And so tonight is roundtable night. We're going to talk about anything under the sun, anything on your heart, on your spirit. But before we get started, I wanted to talk about the Jeremiah 29:11. We've been it's the flagship scripture because I've been seeing it. And it's a couple people in my neighborhood and put on their doors just recently. And it's such a strong scripture, man. But 15 through 23, I read that all day today, the whole 29, man. And Jerome, that's, I call that Jerome baby, Jeremiah itself, man. And so I don't necessarily want to go through 15 through 23, but if you get a chance sometime tonight, man, check it out. And that the scene of it and those words, man, it'll let it meditate through your soul. Somebody put something on the table.
Hey, Todd, you got them 2 videos I sent you?
You just sent them?
No, I sent them to you last week.
Oh, the intro, yeah. Me and Charles listened to it yesterday.
Okay.
Good. I like them, really like them.
All right, since Todd asked us to put something on the table, nobody's speaking up, I will. How many of you guys, you know, like, Todd, we live? Are we live tonight?
Yeah.
How many of you guys have found something other than your mate that you love? And what I want to break that down is, I just believe that no matter what your situation marital is, as individuals, we have to find something that we love, that we enjoy, that we have a passion for.
Right.
Somebody was saying something?
No, go ahead. You'll expound on it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to expound a little bit further. What I'm saying is, I have found a new love for baseball and people, and Josh done seen me at it. Todd know how I am. But it's a different type of love now. It's like, I love the game because now I can watch it in the spirit of God, and I can cheer for people. I can't play a lick anymore. But I love watching other people and helping other people learn the game. And what I mean by that, we love when we can try to, like George has talked to me about how much he loves umpiring. And I'm sure while he's on that field, he's trying to talk to guys in a godly manner through the love that you have for the sport. But God can come in that manner to where you're giving so much of yourself to it that people see God in you without you having to specify. Right. Because even feel now, I've got people walking up to me want to talk about God, and I ain't said a word about Christianity or nothing. I'm just, hey man, I don't use any profanity. I cheer for the guys. I don't curse anybody out. Right. I'm just doing it in love, letting the spirit of God show through my life without being all belligerent about it. If everybody can understand what I'm saying. So the message is, sometimes, man, we just have to find things that we love, that we're passionate about, that we can put ourselves into, in the spirit of God. Out you without you having to walk around with a Bible and beat somebody over the head with it. If you are a Bible, it'll shine through your life. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yep. I think I've talked a lot about the light, but that's what Jerome's talking about. It's a component. It's a component of, like, part of our testament, part of the change is someone seeing your joy. And whatever it is, it might not be in a setting like a baseball game, but when you grab your bucket and your reeling rod to go fishing, if it's golfing, for me, you know, everybody know I love baseball, but for me, man, I love read. If I got a book, man, it's not a whole lot can touch that tangibly. So somebody jump on that.
I was just thinking about what Jerome was saying, because I do have a passion for umpiring, and I just want to thank Rick was the one that really introduced me to it. Mm-hmm. And I started out with adult slow pitch, and it really tested my faith. And I'm gonna be real. It tested my faith in such a way that, and I'm gonna say this because it's important. See, God is not gonna hold me responsible for the way you treat me. He's gonna hold me responsible for the way I treat you. Right. So there were times when, I mean, straight up tested on the field with men. That's where I grew with that, because, you know, we got some testosterone issues and stuff going on, because, you know, we're alpha males, we're strong, we don't want to never be wrong. But I had to humble myself when I began to do that. And I want to thank Rick personally, but then that prepared me when I went from slow pitch to fast pitch. But what Jerome was saying, the love that I have for the sport, and I could even sense, you know, when some of the young ladies or even some of the men were having issues. I even witnessed to a guy on the field. I'll never forget it. It just came to my spirit. I witnessed to him on the field, and he was talking about, I heard him right, and I didn't say nothing first. He said, well, he was talking to another guy. He said, old lady, ball and chain, and stuff like that. So the next game, I was on the bases, and he was on first. And I said, man, let me ask you a question. I said, so how long you been married? He said, I've been married for about 5, 7 years, something like that. I said, do you know, when was the last time you took your wife out? Said, well, man, well, I really ain't took her out nowhere. I said, you know her favorite flower? Do you ever give her a card? I heard you the other end call her old lady. I mean, you know, I know she ain't never been like that. Well, you know, things happen, man. I said, man, well, you loved her before. Why can't you love her now? What's going on with that? I said, let me explain what you need to do. Do this here. Go get a card, some chocolate, and some flowers, and bring it home to her. You still love her, right? Well, show her that you love her.
Right.
And turned around 2 weekends, I looked out there, his whole family there. She done water. She done bring him food and everything, man. It is sometimes it just takes enough in us to show love, the love of Christ to another man to really help him. So when I'm on the field like that, I mean, I have such peace and serenity. It doesn't make a difference if they're calling me names, person. Of course, we don't allow cursing. We have to stop. But the professionalism and to be an ambassador for Christ in an environment is so powerful. You'd be surprised who's looking at you and who's watching you.
Man. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Because you got to be Christ at all times. Everything ain't going to be a lovey-dovey. You know, that's when you get tested. Your faith gets tested. And I almost bit a hole in my lip a couple of times. What I will say, without the shedding of his blood, we don't remission for sin. I know, I just wanted to share that. Jerome, thanks for bringing it out, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem, bro.
Sunday, look real quick. Sunday, Tiffany and Caleb came to the game, and they don't really come a lot. They come, but I had a moment early in the game. I'm doing my thing. And the umpire, he really made a bad call on me. And the pitcher was dealing really good, throwing really hard and all that. And then I had a chance of driving a run, and the rest of the guys wasn't really hitting. And so when I got the first, that old big five fella was right there, man. I threw my helmet down, and Tiffany said, "Look at your face." I said, "What?" She said, if Jesus came, would he be pleased? And then she said, "Look at your son, God Almighty."
Right,
boy, yep. That right there, quick too. It was just kind of like that partnership what she means to me and helping me, because Jerome, if I get to a certain place, you know, it can get ugly real quick. But just having her there in that moment, man, snapped everything back. Brother Justin,
yes.
Got anything on your heart, man, you want to talk about? Really glad you made it on, man.
I really have, I don't know if it's my problem or what. It's like I have a problem with understanding women and their feelings.
Oh, man, that's all, though. Welcome to the club. Problems all.
And that was a major issue in my relationship. Hmm. Me not getting her to a point to where she felt like I was making her push her feelings to the side. That's why we broke up and the wedding was called off.
Right, right. So we got 230-year-olds. I just turned 50. We got a lot of wisdom here. And they I see the little hamsters chomping, they ready.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it on here, and especially I don't know where you at in your walk. But as a matter of God, I have to look in the mirror.
There you go.
And say, what is it that I'm doing that I could do better?
Right.
And a lot of times, in the natural, we're not going to see it. Because I just went through some stuff. Me and my wife went through some stuff. And God spoke through Jerome and the rest of the guys praying and reaching out to me. Because even then, I tried my best to see the errors of my ways. But because I'm thinking from an individual standpoint, hey, I'm doing X, Y, Z, and it's hard to look at it from a picture of the team aspect. Like, I don't think I'm doing nothing wrong, but if she feels it, then that is a reality. Her reality, her perspective is a reality.
Yeah.
I can back that up with the mirror aspect. My name is Prentice, by the way, Justin.
Hey,
I'm good. As a man that's been married now 27 years and went through some changes and here and there with some things too, but it comes with looking at self, yes, but as the men on this platform here, and Todd alluded to it, we start with our relationship with God first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if we start with our relationship with God first and build on that, you know, not saying everything will be roses, ice cream, and cake.
Yeah, I already know that. Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, we look at things different. And if it's, and if it must be, it will be. But as a man, you have to be able to look in yourself in the mirror and say that I did everything I could, number one, to love God, and number two, to love that woman, no matter what the turnout be.
Right.
On that side of it, for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Do you have any, other than George, Brother Jordan, that's an awesome guy to have in your circle. Do you have any other guys that you, because see, for me, I'm talking about my situation. Pretty much every guy on this panel, on this forum, in the 2 months or so that we were really in a bad place, reached out to me consistently. And
right.
But the kicker is, I have to humble myself.
There you go.
That's humble myself to receive, because I don't think I agree in the flesh with anything, because you, that's that macho and the masculinity inside of us. I'm the man, they wrong. But when I humble myself and I know that God is speaking through them to get a message through me, now I can move forward and say, because saying I'm sorry and I'm wrong, for me, this is worse. It's the hardest thing in the world for me in the flesh. But if I want my marriage, I got to humble myself and say, hey, God, thank you for the words Ron gave me. Thank you for Josh at work every morning. Thank you for Prince reaching out. Thank you for Rick. You know, they call everybody Charles. He live. I could throw a baseball and hit Charles truck right now. So get you some brothers that you respect and you know going to give it to you. You don't want somebody to say you right. They don't love you. If they telling you you right all the time, they don't love you. They want you to be able to go out every night. That's why they tell you that.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Welcome aboard, Brother Justin.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'm Brother Dakota. Amen. I got 21 years in marriage. August will be 22. And the thing about, just like you said, the women and their feelings, boy, you'll never figure it out.
No, sir.
You never know what they're thinking. They always, there's always something with that type of stuff. And you'll pull all your hair out trying to figure it out and whatnot. But just like they said about that man in the mirror and all of that, whatever she says that it is that you're doing that's bothering her and whatnot, you might not think it's nothing at all. It might be small. Why is this bothering you? And all of this type of stuff. But sometimes, okay, if it's bothering you that bad, then maybe I got to change and whatnot. But just like you said, I don't know how far you are with your walk in Christ and whatnot, but and don't want to sound too spiritual, but at the same time, fasting and praying, like you said, if this the one for me, like Brother Prentice said, it'll work out. My wife and I, about eight years in, went through some real, real stuff. I mean, we was right on the edge of divorce. It got to the point when my wife took her ring off her finger and whatnot. She took her ring off her finger for a couple of weeks and whatnot. That's how bad it was. And our pastor had to reel us in and bring us in for counseling and all that, because it got to that point and whatnot. And yeah, it was a very hard time. And even my son is 22 right now. And he was about 9 years old at the time. And he drew a picture. He just heard all of that arguing with my wife and I. Drew a picture of the dad, the mom. And when he drew the hand, he put a little ring around the hand. And I guess he heard us arguing about why she wasn't wearing that ring and all of that. That touched me in some type of way. But nevertheless, through God and through prayers and through counseling, you know, like I said, we still together. 21 years in, that was almost 10 years ago and all of that, a little longer than that when that happened. Things go happen. Just like what Prentice said, it's not always like a bowl of ice cream and whatnot, but marriage is a beautiful thing. I highly promote it. And I think it needs to be promoted way more than what it is, because a lot of times you get bad advice. But see, man, talking about don't get married. The men that were married, they said they'll never get married again and all of that type of stuff. But when you got God, because it takes three to make a marriage work, because everybody, a husband and wife and God right there in the center of it all and at the head of it, brother. But all I can tell you to do is to pray, try and do your best to communicate with her, find out what the problem is, fix it. Like I said, you really got to look in the mirror. If it's me, then fix it. Ask God to show it to you. Do whatever it is, because if that's the love of your life and you really want to pray to God that this is it, and do whatever you got to do to fix that. I'm sorry to hear that, brother. It was called off and whatnot. Like I said, what God put together, let no man put asunder. Let no man separate. But I do pray that hopefully, if that's the woman for you, God bless. I pray that y'all get together and y'all can have a marriage and it'll be long and for many, many years, brother. But try and work that out the best you can. But fast and pray and ask God to show you and whatnot. And he will.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good job. Good job. Good job, man. Before we move on to something else, I want you if you've been watching us, I don't know how long you've been watching us, allow yourself to be the person that made mistakes. What I mean by that, don't allow anybody to make you stand in the things that you have done wrong, because we all imperfect. We all have done wrong. I mean, yes. Man, I can write movies, cinemas. I can fill up theaters if you want to do a movie on my life, but that's what man sees. All my mistakes is what man sees. We talk about forgiveness often on here. All the things that you've done wrong, that's where they're at. And you ask God to move you forward, he will, and you will shine. Your life will shine. All you got to do is get to it.
Right.
Somebody else give me something. Put something else on the table.
Well, I'm going to go back to what Drone was talking about earlier. I think it kind of ties into what his question just a little bit, along with whatever else taught that we put together here as finding someone, finding a mentor, finding that group of guys, because to me, I think a man needs an outlet. Mm-hmm. And when I say spiritual outlet, something like Jerome said, something he can do, something that to help clear his mind, or something that he had is passionate about.
Right.
Something besides sit on the chair and eat bonbons and watch TV all the time.
Francis, quit talking about me, man.
and like you said, if you're doing it and you're enjoying it, it's something about it. I like to grill. I like to cook.
And me too.
Amen.
And I was cooking one day. Like I said, you never know who's watching. You never know. He was having a little function, you know, just getting back out the hospital and everything, and a little celebration. And I was at the grill. I was just doing my thing. I was singing and dancing to the music and all. I was in my own zone. All the people around in my own zone. And so when I finished, and this lady said, "What is your name?" And I told her. She says, "I have never seen a man enjoy themselves cooking like you have." All I could say was thank you, because I had no idea that what was going on around me, because like I said, at that point I was in that zone. I was really enjoying it at that particular time. There's other things. I mean, I've done golf, but I had to put them shoes down for a while. But it gives you a sense of relief, you know. And sometimes it's those times, sometimes it's things quiet, sometimes you may need a little quiet, but ain't nobody but you and God.
Right.
You and God.
I think and I know for me, I've always been really active, but for the guys that I talk to, it almost as if, and I'm just really thought about since Jerome posed it, it almost like we've made people feel like when you get older and as you become a family man, that your life should become dedicated to your family and to your spouse and your kids and work. And so if you look at it, how much do that complicate marriage and life by itself when you're trying to please? You say, "I love doing that, but I ain't gonna do this because I got my wife and I got my kids and I got work. I don't really want to go to work every day." Mm-hmm. Kids, of course, get on your nerves every day, but then you don't have that outlet. You don't have that outlet. Only thing can happen is that resentment is the only thing can happen out of that. You go to work and you and your boss, you got a coworker aggravating you, or you're not being as productive at work and you don't have no outlet. Don't let nobody tell you that they married is just all go all the time. They tell them a lie. I mean, they are. I don't even like looking at me every day in the mirror. I argue with myself sometimes. There's no way you can live with somebody without an outlet. Without baseball, I'd probably be in a mental institution right now. I'm being honest.
So here's my question on another end of the spectrum here. I'm gonna bring it down a little bit. And so my question is relating to death. And I've seen it handled many different ways on many different ends of the spectrum. when it's, especially if it's someone close to you, and how we deal with death.
Right.
What are you guys' opinion on still celebrating someone's birthday after they're dead and gone?
Great question, Trey. I know it's uncomfortable for me.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, especially like social media, because most people don't walk around in the natural. It's like they do it, but I've seen people have like dinner for the deceased birthdays. I don't know how you celebrate it. You know what I mean? Kind of. That's what I mean by uncomfortable. I think you can acknowledge it. I lost my dad and my brother. I acknowledge it, but celebrating it, I think, is a kind of extreme. That's just me.
I'm about the same. I acknowledge it. That's about it. But like you said, as far as celebrating, I lost my mother in 2015, May the 17th. You know, normally I might go down to the graveside or something and do something. Mm-hmm. But as far as celebrating them, you know, and I lost my dad and my brother 4 months behind one another, brother to cancer and daddy 4 months later. And I did both of their eulogies. I told y'all, because my brother wanted me to do it. He said, I know where you do your own brother's eulogy. That was rough. It was just only us two. But he wanted me to tell his story. But as far as celebrating, like you said, like Brother Jerome said, Brother Todd, that acknowledge it. That's about it. I know it's there and whatnot. But having a dinner or something like that, I guess to each his own. But that's about what I do. I just acknowledge it. I knew it happened. And I just move celebrational.
Brother Charles, give me something. I see the little hamster hanging out your ear.
You know, I never thought about celebrating my loved ones that's passed on birthdays. And I'm kind of like you guys. It's hard dealing with it, you know, the loss of a loved one. But at the same time, I was just thinking, on the other side of it, that when my mom, my dad, and my grandson left, they stepped out of time into eternity with Christ. And for me to celebrate that, I can celebrate that. And I reckon on the selfish side, I lost them. But on the spiritual side, I reckon it is a celebration, because they in the presence of God, worshiping, praising God. That's where we're trying to get now. But I never thought about celebrating.
I think that was a deeper question than I thought it initially. Yeah. Friends, looking at everybody's faces.
But at the same time, when we lost our grandson. I did everything. My mind just went kind of crazy about what I didn't do, but God had to show me that the love that you have for your family members, that love death can't break. For God so loved the world that he gave his
life. Right.
So death can't break that love.
Right.
Death can break the fellowship. But death can't love.
Right.
Now I can celebrate for that.
Right.
Love is never.
For me, on those birthdays of my dad and my brother, I always use it as a re-energizing, a refocus, because I'm still here. I'm still here in the natural. So it's things to be done, and it's things I can do. I still have the ability to do some things in the natural. So that's the celebration aspect of it for me. I guess that makes sense. Like, you know, this, my dad died on this day or whatever, on his birthday, he's not here, but I'm here. So let me go back to my list of things to do, or what God has for me to do. Am I being obedient and still being, I just don't want to be here and not be useful and be purposeful.
Right. I think the beauty I think the beauty of it is, because I was thinking about my uncle, and I thought about my Uncle Billy and my Uncle Daniel and my Aunt Odessa. Those are people that influenced my life, and they went on and passed on. And I just have joy when I think about it, because, you know, I know that they're in a better place. And, you know, just I think the reflections and the things that they did when I was around them, and the funny things and the zest for life that they had, are the things that I really think about. And I rejoice in those, because some of those men actually had a powerful impact on my life. You know, especially the way he loved the Lord and the way he used to talk about God. And that's what kind of drew me to Christ, you know, watching him. And you just think about those things and it brings joy to your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about it. And then you just think about the loss. You feel sad, but it's for a minute. You know, I just think about that scripture all the time. Weeping you may endure for a night, but it's joy in the morning. So you think about those things. You think about the memories and the legacies that they left behind, you know, and lives that they touched.
Yeah.
You know, sit around and talk about those things, and that's what bring you joy.
Right. That was a great question, Brennan. Somebody else got something?
I got something, Todd. It's a question. Besides prayer, what do we do to prevent ourselves from our vices and our addiction?
That's prayer.
Besides prayer, what do we do to prevent ourselves from our vices and our addictions?
I'll jump in. Mm-hmm. Well, number one, you said the right word when you said prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But with prayer goes alone in action. So now that you prayed about it, you gotta put something, you gotta have a game plan of what can I do to help with this situation that I'm in? Because you're going to pray to God about it, but now you got to keep yourself from that situation.
Right, correct.
Put yourself in the same situation that's going to cause you to fall. So the temptation that you're going to fall in, you got to be disciplined enough to say, I'm going to that environment. I'm not going to go, you know, if it's a food, then you don't go to the grocery store and buy it. If it's a woman, you don't go to a place where that woman may be. If it's friends, then you start cutting your friends loose. Whatever the vice or whatever the addiction may be, you start, it ain't gonna happen overnight, but you got to start putting a game plan on with the prayer. Because in James, he said prayer, he said, what he said?
He said James 5.
Yeah, faith without works is dead.
Right.
Faith, you're gonna have the first, but you got to do something. You know, a lot of times, to pray up to God, but
right.
And so what you got to do is you got to pray to God, having faith that He's going to deliver you from it. Then you got to do a little something on your end. That's what my message would be to you.
Amen. Yeah, appreciate that.
I think another part of that too is you got to surround yourself with the correct people. I think that's the biggest part. You know, Jerome was alluding to James, but the scripture I was thinking about was James in James 5 when it talks about confession to one another. But again, it got to be the correct people.
Right.
Because everybody don't mean you good.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's a true statement, and misery loves company.
Right.
So you got to be able to surround yourself with people that's really there to support, love, and as Todd alluded to earlier, it's going to tell you the truth, not what your itching ears want to hear.
Right.
And that way, if you're doing like Jerome says, you know, now you got someone to help you along in that walk and back you up along with it. And through your struggles.
With vices and addictions, those things are strongholds. They are really strongholds. So you have to get comfortable with denying yourself, because to have a vice and an addiction, you done gave yourself a whole belly full of something and you like it. So you have to get uncomfortable with not having something and telling yourself no, which is very hard. I think we don't talk about it a lot, but telling yourself no for something, no, mm-hmm. Man, listen, Justin, remember? I ran women that I didn't even like, and I knew I shouldn't have been with them, but I couldn't say no. And until you can say no to you, you can't break a vice. You can pray all you want. It was plenty nights at the hospital. I was reading Bibles to people, studying at the door, to people, and closed the Bible. And I can't say what happens after that, but until you, because I'm getting the word, I'm believing what I'm reading. I'm even praying, don't let me do it. But I wasn't strong enough to tell me no, because they wasn't saying no. If they say yes, yeah, I'm going to say yes. So you got to get comfortable. Whatever that vice is, a lot of people got gambling addiction. Until you, that love of money lessens, you can't break. You cannot break a gamble. Let somebody lock you in a cage. That's it. If you can go outside, you're going to go gamble your last $20. If you can go outside, you're going to find $4 to bet on something. And so you got to get comfortable with denying yourself. And you only deny yourself by telling yourself no, like hard. Right. I had to start fussing at myself, punching myself in the head. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can't do it. And now I look like a fool, but at least I was denying myself.
Man. Whatever works. I think Brother Jerome said it best. I agree with him 1,000% about that. As far as, and you just about discipline, that is the key, man, and whatnot. And you got to have that. But everything you just, that's a stronghold. And like I said, man, that is hard to shake. Whatever it is that, like you said, just like after you prayed about it, now what do you go do about it? You have got the doggone stay away from that thing. You got, like you said, you got to say no. You got to stay away from that thing. You got to fight it the best you can, like Brother Prentice said. Like you said, people that you can trust and get around. And then as an individual, you still might be a little embarrassed for whatever it is to tell somebody whatever it is. Because you just don't want nobody to know your business, whatever it is, unless that's a real, real strong somebody that you really do trust. And if you don't want to tell nobody that, the only thing I say, you have got to fight that thing and continue to say no, you got to have that discipline and whatnot. I know it's hard, like you say, without prayer, but with prayer, while you are praying, ask God to help you with it. But can't stress it enough, like Brother Jerome said. After that, once that's out the way, it's up to you now, man. You have got to doggone stay away from that thing. And like you said, it's hard. That's what backsliders. I mean, that's what it is. And then went back to whatever God delivered you out of. I always put that. Don't go back to it. Once the devil gets his hooks back in you, man, my God, he already mad that you left his team the first anyway. And now you walk around and whatever, he dangled that carrot in your face. And if you reach out and grab it, you know, like I say, the fish don't know it's a hook in that worm. And whatnot, once he done hooked you, man, it's hard to get back from that, man. But my goodness, man, you got to have that discipline and stay away from it. It might sound easier said than done, but you just have to do that. You got to fight it. Right. Just like with brother, he was hitting himself in the head. Do whatever you got to do. He might look stupid, like you said, but if that's what helps him, whatever it is you got to do, that's what you do to stay away from that vice.
Right. Mm.
That's a great question too, Jonathan.
Yeah, it is.
Really is. And I keep hearing, who do you trust? Which is really like, it's a really powerful thing. Who do you trust? And I'm, for me, everybody on here, I know intimately. Except for Dakota, but I do now since he's been on and we've connected through the spirit. But Rick, all you got, Charles, me and Charles have 3 or 4 deep conversations every week, and trusting someone, not by who they portray, not by who they portray to be though. And I'm bringing that up because I know each of you guys intimately, and I know what I see when I'm looking at it, I know it's real because I have an intimate relationship. You've opened up to me, I open up to you, and that's where trust is. Some people get misled because they trust what they see in someone, what somebody portrays to be, versus really getting close and say, hey, now this cat don't talk like this. See, you don't act like this when it's just me and him somewhere alone just trying to chop it up. So like be very careful about who you really open up to, because everybody don't have your best interests at heart.
Right.
Remember a few years ago when Kirk Franklin came out, said he had something going on with pornography. Right. And whatnot. I mean, he came out public with it. I don't know if I could have did that or not, because it seemed like, I guess for who you are, for who I am in Christ and and all of that type of stuff. And if that's what he did, God bless, he did it. I mean, it's already out there. Just ask for me. I'm like, man, I don't know if I want anybody to know that I'm struggling with pornography and whatnot like that. That would have been, that probably would have been a personal thing I would have fought, but he did it. He put it out there. People were praying for him or whatever the case may be. And then, of course, everybody knew what happened about a couple of months ago when he cussed his son out and all of that type of stuff. And when that was a surprise thing, he didn't know that, I guess, that was going to happen. But he came out and admitted that he had a vice with that and whatnot. But like I said, if you feel good enough to do that, that's something. But you got to fight it, though, whatever it may be.
Right. All right.
You know, whenever you, whatever place you find yourself, whatever stronghold that you find yourself in, and God turns around and deliver you from whatever that issue, or he helps you through that issue, once you are free, mm-hmm. you need to guard your heart. Mm-hmm. What I mean, when I'm saying by guard your heart, like with pornography, if that's my issue I'm struggling with, I have to guard my heart and not allow any to open myself up to that, what God has already delivered me from.
Right.
If alcohol, my thing, I mean, if you're drinking, or if you're struggling with alcohol, I can't put myself around people that's drinking. I mean, this, I'm talking about Charles. I can't expose myself to that because that's my weakness and the enemy knows my weakness.
Right.
If it's lying, I mean, I tell so many lies, nobody can believe me. I have to guard my heart and try to exert an effort to be truthful in everything that I do, and don't even try and try to guard my heart around associates that I used to hang with that right. used to just like I did. Because if I don't guard my heart, when my heart is open, and I got three gates, my eyes, my ears, and my mouth, I have to guard them.
Right.
Amen. Hey, let me ask, listening to Charles and Jerome was saying doing work. How do someone who's listening, that they got all those steps that we said, right, Prentice 2, How do you guard? Okay, well, I know if it's the women's, right? I can't go around the women, right? If it's the alcohol, if it's the drugs, how do you guard against a vice that you got delivered from that's not at the front of your thought process anymore, but it was a vice and it's still alive and well if you back in that environment? How do you guard against that?
It's coming to you.
Right.
But see that, and that's the thing. I think it was Jerome talked about earlier. Somebody talked about discipline or whatever earlier. Mm-hmm. It's coming to you. That's one thing you got to understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
because you decide to take this walk and get through what you're getting through. It's coming to you.
Yes, sir.
Because you're trying to walk away from it, it go find you. Wherever you go, it go find you. And it go show itself to you.
Right.
It go be try to look as attractive as it even before because you trying to leave it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's that heart. You got to have that heart of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough thing when you trying to get away from something that's destroying your life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's destroying you. It's something about that. It's a human nature that how we find the thing that's destroying us, we think is good. It's backwards thinking.
Yeah.
All right. And to get away from it. Because here's the thing, you may get away from it today. You may not see it tomorrow. You may not see it 3 years from now. But 3 years in a day, here it comes.
Right.
Because it knows that regardless, somewhere down the line, you used to love me. Yeah. And because you used to love me, that means you still got a taste for me. Because it's a part of, I am a part of you.
Right.
You want to suppress me because you want a better life because you fell in love with, we fell in love with Christ. So we, now we're denying ourselves other things that the flesh want, right? But you still got flesh, ain't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you didn't get rid of the flesh. But it, I think, to me, now, y'all know this friend is talking now. I'm just an old country boy from New Bear, South Carolina. Right? Things still come back. Because they are a part of you. If you, now everybody may not be like me. Then you had that first love that broke your heart, you know, and you had to put it in the past.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that's still that little part you think about every now and then.
Right.
Because I don't bring it up to my present.
Right.
So that don't I know. They don't know. But you keep it in the past because every now and then it sneaks back and want to say hello. You know, you say goodbye.
Right. Check it out, friend. When it comes back, though, because we felt like we was delivered from it long ago, Satan to tell us we can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You good now. Go ahead and get you a piece. Go ahead and get you a bite. You know, you can have a little bit of that. Go ahead, Jay.
But Carl, what I love about the way you referenced the question is, and I'm not sure we answered it, you said people that are listening.
Right.
What makes this question so deep is there may be people that don't know God that's dealing with the issue. But and the message we need to give them is the only way to truly deal with it is through God.
Only way.
You got bad habits that you're dealing with, I can speak for Jerome. You know me, I'm big on that. My habits did not start to go away until God got in my life.
Those
things that I had that was bad habits was magnified 10 times over and harder to deal with because I didn't know Christ. And when you don't know Christ, you don't have anything to hold on to, and the faith and the prayers and all these things to help you pull away from it. It's almost impossible to get away from certain things without God.
Right.
It's almost impossible. You need that power of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Spirit of God to help you to get rid of those things that you're struggling with so mightily. I'm sure there's some people out there that probably say, hey, I've done it without God. And I'm sure you can. All I'm saying is it makes it harder when you don't know Christ to try to get rid of bad habits. And it can be done. I will agree. It probably can be done, but I like your chances better when you know God.
Right.
Jerome, so right on that, Brother Jerome, because there's no way in this world I could have stopped drinking without Christ. I wasn't strong enough to do that.
Amen.
Not strong enough. There's no way. But like I said, if you were that strong enough to do that, then God bless you then. But I know for the most part, you have to have it. Like you said, it's much more easy with Christ to do that because you're dependent and leaning on Christ. And just like Prentice said, it's go find you. You go to a party, depending on who's throwing the party now and whatnot. If you just go there to get some food or whatnot, they're going to have a cooler full of alcohol. If drinking is your vice now, they're going to have that. You got to stay away from that. Normally, there's a cooler full of water or soda or something. You better stick to that and whatnot. If you just go to the convenience store just to pay for some gas, then while you're in there, you're going to get you some chips, a Slim Jim, and a soda and something, but you walking right past all the wine and all of that type of stuff. It's sections in there, unless it's a dry county. If it's not a dry county, you go always be faced with alcohol. And just like, it's like it's tapping you on your shoulder. I was a sucker for Mad Dog, for Morgan Davis, and what that cheap wine, that was me, and Cisco and all that foolishness, and Thunderbird. And see, when you go in there, you know, it's just like they calling your name. When I go into that store, because that's what I used to drink and whatnot, it's just, oh man, Mad Dog got a new flavor. They ain't had that before when I was drinking. I see that type of that just being real. I was out there and whatnot, but I got to see it and I move on and whatnot. I don't care how hot it is. It's just like Deacon was saying one time, he just like what Prentice was saying. You go in that store and right now it's hot. Boy, cold beer, sure be good today. Boy, it's good and hot out there. Now the enemy go mess with you regardless of the fact, but you have got to have that discipline to stay away from that. If you're trying to do that, but there's no better resource than Christ, no better source than Christ and whatnot to help you with advice. That's just all it is to it. Because like, it's going to find you. You're going to be surrounded by it. if it's women, you see women every game. Mm-hmm. Not going to get rid of. You can't walk around with a blindfold on. You gonna see that. You got to deal with that now. Remember, I told that before I went into Walmart and whatnot. That's how I used to. I had to do what I had to do because women walking around half naked in there and whatnot. You got to do what you got to do, man. And like the brother Jerome can said no better. You got to do that thing with Christ because you're not strong enough to get rid of that thing and stop it by yourself.
Right.
Coda, I'm gonna take a step further. Through Christ for me, for Jerome. And we haven't mentioned it yet. And that born-again process is big on this type of issue. And the reason why being born again is such an issue, because you totally change who you used to be.
Right.
Born-again just makes you such a new person. It makes you such a new being. It makes you such a new person all the way around to where the old things pass away. You become so new that you don't even know yourself sometimes because...
Come on, man.
God just changes you from the inside out, and you just start to change it. And you don't even have a taste for the things that you used to do.
Right.
So that's why the part of being born again through Christ Jesus is so important when you're talking about getting rid of vices, bad habits, and things of that nature. I just want to throw that in there.
Amen.
That's a good part, Jay. But the thing, like, my vice is to women, right? Nothing has changed since I left the hospital, but my recommitment to please the Lord. Like, the woman's still pretty. That still is my vice.
Yeah.
Now, because of my commitment at the hospital, the new girl started at the hospital, fire inside of me, battery on 10, heart racing, my heart racing, gotta have it. Now, it's still my vice, but it's not a focus of mine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't chase. I don't have desires like that. And I'm getting old, dude. And now I have accountability partners. I have goals. I didn't really have goals at the time. You know, putting notches on my belt, I guess it was a goal. I don't really call it that. But from the flesh, I guess that's what it was. Now I have purpose. God is using me. He connected me with you guys. So now if I start thinking crazy, me and Jerome talks 5-6 times a day, me and Charles talk, me and Josh, all you guys talk, I'll be crazy to talk to three of you guys and still have that desire. Something's wrong with me if I'm still in that mindset that I want to do wrong with all the access of God, because you guys are a gift from God. And so that's why iron sharpens irons. It's a real thing.
Amen.
Hey, I got one. With being a Christian, is there any way to know? And I'm not talking about, you know, have an opinion or an idea, but to actually really know if we're going to heaven when we pass.
Yeah, ain't nobody ain't gonna say nothing, so I'll say something. All right, y'all. The best way to answer this question is through the Word of God. He tells you what believing in him, living by his word, he tells you that it's either two places, go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. And he gives you in the word. I can't quote the scriptures right now, but Dakota and George and Prentice and Todd and all and Charles, they probably can give us some scriptures. But he basically spells it out, what it takes to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Through his word. His word basically breaks it down of what you need to do to be real sure that thou shall be saved. He said, give your life to Christ, believe in our mind and through our heart, and thou shall be saved. And then there's some other things too.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Word of God. He breaks it down, and I'm sure Dakota or George, and this is where they come in, can do a better job than what I'm doing, but that's what my reassurance is coming from. My reassurance is in the Word of God.
Amen.
He tells me that if I live a certain way and I do certain things, that my chances of going to heaven is great. Matter of fact, he tells you will go if you do certain things. He said, follow my commandments. That's right. What we keep doing. Live by the word of God, and we can go to heaven. And I'm sure this is a good one for everybody that may be listening.
So I
want to turn this over to George and Dakota so they can put some salt on this that we're talking about, because I'm sure those guys can bring it home for us.
If God is first in you, first of all, you have to know that God is first in your life. He's number one. Mm-hmm. When the disciples said, what is the greatest commandment? And it says to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. If you do that, and I say, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, if you forgive people, if you know you're doing all of that, if you repent every day, there's no doubt. Now, I know if I were to pass away tonight, I have no doubt in my mind that I will make it in. Not just, and I'm not saying that, oh, I just know I'm gonna just make it in, but I know I'm practicing, I'm doing those things daily. I'm human, yes, I make mistakes, but I'm doing, with the help of the Holy Ghost, the very best that I can according to God's principles, by forgiving, right, by loving my neighbor, by putting him first in all things, not my wife, not my children, not my job, nothing is before God. Even in the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because God is a jealous God. If you know that God is the head of your life, then that way I know you know for sure, for certain, that if you die, you'll make it in, knowing that. But if you have right. any doubt, then you need to reevaluate yourself, put nothing in front of God, and deservedly so. He's a jealous God. The word says so. And right. it shouldn't be nothing in front of him. If you love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if he's number one, then there's no doubt that you'll make it into heaven. Because it's like Jerome said, you're doing all the other things as well. Because it tells you plenty of things not to do as well. Adultery, drunkenness, and all of that type of stuff. Hating people, hating and whatnot. It's not all about revenge. It's like turning the other cheek. The Bible says to love your enemies. Are you doing that? Mm-hmm. I don't care if somebody got you fired from your job. I don't care if they done stole from you, cheated from you. You still got to pray for them, because the word says so in Matthew 5:44. It says to pray for your enemies. And I ain't saying that's easy. Nobody says that's easy. But you got to pray for your enemies. You got to have love. Dylan Roof killed 9 people in Charleston. You got to pray for Dylan Roof that he get his soul right and whatnot. Even though he might be on death row and all of that, those are the things that when people do heinous things, you can't have no hate in your heart. In order to make it in, like before I let Pastor George or somebody get on, before it's plain to say, if you cannot forgive others, how can I forgive you? After all what they did to Jesus. If you can't forgive others, how can I forgive you? So no, you will not make it in if you have no forgiveness on your heart. God, number one, forgiveness and love. I'm trying to tell you, you die tonight, you know you'll make it in if you do those things. And also repent daily and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
You know what I'm thinking about? I think
the Bible. George, one thing I want to add before you
go ahead. Go ahead.
Josh, you have to believe.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You have to believe it yourself in your heart. Mm-hmm. I believe that that's where I'm going. That's between me and my God. I don't care what nobody else think. I don't care what none of you guys think. I believe it. I always have believed it. And then we're going to see where the chip falls. But that's what I believe.
Amen.
I don't necessarily want to say the doubt creeps in, but the question creeps in, because I think is, and I'm going to talk about Josh, talk about me. I can beat myself up over the stuff I do wrong every single day. But when I'm getting blessed, it's hard for me to accept those and feel like, am I really worthy of this because of my past, or, you know, because of the mind frame that I may be in. So that was the reason where that question, where the thought process behind that question came in.
This is on me again. Josh, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm struggling with something right now that goes along with what you said. But with my faith and my belief and the work that I'm putting in the word, I believe in God. And I know that God is a forgiver. He will forgive me of my sins and the things that I've done wrong. I'm resting my hat and my head on his word. His word. Look at, Todd and I talked about it earlier this week. Man, look at some of the things look what David did. David had a man murdered for his wife, but God still said David was after his own heart.
Amen.
You know, Abraham slept with another woman. So throughout the Bible, my point is all type of prophets and men of God has did things that went against the word of God, but yet their faith and their love for God was magnified through what they did wrong, and God counted it as righteousness.
Amen.
I have to rest my hat on that for me as well. I think it goes for us the same way it went for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All these guys did stuff that they shouldn't have done. Solomon had 1,000 wives.
That's right.
You know, but God still blessed him. So I'm believing in the Bible. Mm. I'm believing in the word of God. Can't believe in man, but I will believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Jay. And Justin, that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier about what man and people will always try to condemn. They won't remember nothing you did today good, But they remember what you did wrong in 2012. No, you could go and feed the homeless for a whole week, take vacation off. No one would say good job, but they would come to the place you feeding the homeless and remind you of who you were in 12.
And so
what's wrong, man? That's what I was really headed at. Like, it's what God says. Justin, mm-hmm. who God says Justin is, not who man said he is. And that's so, God word is how we live.
Right, right.
Say something with, and kind of piggyback a little bit on what Jerome said.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key thing that Jerome in his statement is, he said that he believed what God says and followed God. And you see, on the flip side of that, and I think that we can't give people a license to sin and say that no matter, you can go out here and live this wild life for every in a day and you done punch your ticket. You know, but at the same time, look at your life.
Right.
And one thing I do want to say to you, Josh, if God can forgive you, you have to forgive yourself.
Amen. Don't beat yourself up.
You can't let yourself hold you back. If he's already done forgiving you, right?
Right.
You can't let that hold you back. And with the thinking on the side of that, is as the two gentlemen were saying, you know, it's, you have to believe the word of God, and this is what you have to live by, putting your belief into action, all right? And not saying you're saved by works, but there's a way you live in this world that shows, you know, as brother was talking earlier, you know, that people want to talk about God when he ain't even trying to talk about God, because mm-hmm. they see how he's living. They see how his walk is now. That he believes in with all his heart what God says. That he's putting in the work in reading God's scriptures. He's studying with others, and they're looking at God's word together to making sure we are understanding what God wants out of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think so many times I think people depend on other people to tell mm-hmm. them what God wants for them.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. It's right there. You know, you can read it, ask questions. Yep. You know, it's there.
Amen.
Right. Hey, man. Man, it's getting a little late. I really apologize about the technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. It should be good to go, but I'll do a test run Sunday or Monday to make sure this doesn't happen again. I really feel bad about it, mm-hmm. but we pushed mm-hmm. through another great Tuesday night, and you know, it's that time, man. Do them shout outs. Brother George, give me some.
Okay. I just want to leave y'all with this, because when we were talking about it, I think Romans 5:8 came up in my spirit so strong. It was so heavy. And it says this. It says, but God commanded his own love now for us in this, while we were still yet sinners.
Amen.
Christ died for us. Now, who else gonna die for us like that?
Nobody.
I mean, that's a powerful statement. Now, he's saying he commanded his love, his own. He gave his own love. And when I think about his own, I think about agape love. So that's powerful. He already knew who he was, because he was fully man. He was fully God, right? We talk about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is powerful. When you know already what you get ready to do for somebody, and you're going to die for them so that they can have eternal life.
Right.
And we're going to die for, he ain't died for some sin. He died for all sin.
All right.
So just remember that, you know, God ain't going to hold us responsible for the way somebody treat you. He's going to hold you responsible for the way you treat others. So that's where that love comes in. That's a powerful, powerful statement.
Right.
And you can live by that and breathe that and take that in every day. He talks about philo, the love between brothers. The love that we have on this call is so powerful.
Right.
People are going to be blessed when they dial in and hear the Holy Spirit and hear how Christ's love is poured out. He pours it out on all flesh.
Amen. He's not
person. He gives it to freely. He gives and freely he gives it. It's just that simple. Right. It's so powerful. Amen. But I just want to get out and tell you that I love you, brothers. You know, just keep doing what you're doing for only what you do for Christ for last.
Amen.
Because if God's going to give you the provision, he will give you the necessary tools to do what you need to do.
Amen.
Thank you. I love you, my brother.
Good job, bro. Good job. Great word. Love you, Brother Jonathan.
Well, I thank y'all for all the advice tonight and the words of Ty. Thank y'all for all the nuggets. I just thank y'all.
Amen.
For everything, man. Like I said, every week, the main thing I get out of this is build your relationship with God. That's all. Amen. You got to continue to do is build your relationship with God.
Yeah. Right.
That's what helps me every day. And I just find new ways to do it, learn new things. So I just thank y'all, and God bless y'all and your families.
Good job. God
bless you, bro.
Love you. Love you. Brother John, Dustin, give me something.
I want to thank y'all for the wisdom and some good advice tonight. I really need it. I need positive people in my life. I got friends. They positive, but a lot of things they going through is negative. So
Amen.
The positive they give me is really negative in my eyes because they doing wrong and they trying to get me to do right and it don't seem right to me.
Right.
I want to appreciate y'all and y'all word. It was a little emotional tonight, but I held back some tears and stuff.
Hey, Justin.
Yes.
We cries on here. When Jerome and Glenn, they be in them corners opposite. Sometimes they mix up the screen. And Charles, and Prince, all of us. We cries on here. So, hey, don't fight it. Do not fight it. And all real talk, tears is a process of cleansing.
Of releasing.
Every time you got tears, that means it's something God trying to release from the inside of you. Hey, man. So glad you showed up tonight, man. We welcome you back. Hope to see you next Tuesday. Good job, Brother Prentice.
You think Brother Charles won't cry on you? That was all in tears over here sniffing going on.
Call me out.
Phone up.
You know, John 14 says, and Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he says, my father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you?
Right.
And Amen. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am, because you know the place where I am going. That's how I know that he tells me as a disciple of Jesus Christ, he's coming back and he's prepared my place for me.
Amen.
I appreciate tonight. As always, fellas, if I may throw this out real quickly, I would like to get everybody's name, how they want it to appear on the page. And if you want a little something said by your name, please shoot that to me also so I can get it to them quick as possible.
Okay.
All right. Good job. Right. Good job. Good job, bro. Love you. Brother Charles.
Hey, man.
Hey,
Justin.
I just want to let Justin know, man, hey, there's nothing wrong with shedding a tear.
No, sir.
Yes, it has nothing to do with manhood. Right. That shows you that God has touched your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with having a soft heart, and there's nothing wrong with having a heart for God. And hey, Jesus wept too.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm not, if I shed a tear, man, I don't mind. I cry now more than I ever cried before.
Right? Amen.
And that's not a sign of me being less than a man. It's just with my feeling, and God blessed me with these tear ducts. I'm going to use them. And also, Justin, my wife's name is Hattie. We've been married for 44 years. This coming August will be 45. Yes, and sir. One thing I can share with you, man, is find out your fiancés or whoever you going to be dating, or if you're going back to your fiance, find out what's her love language.
All right.
And speak her love language.
Right.
See, and it took me a while because I didn't know how to handle love language. It was just all my love language, what I want. It was all about y'all. But to be intimate is into me, you see. That's you into me so that you don't see yourself. And when you into her, your mate, you gonna speak her love language, what she loves. And you have to communicate to her what you love.
Right.
So she'll be able to speak your language.
Right.
Then that's where the love of God is going to be manifested. And you can also, man, ask God to teach you. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to love your man. All the love that I had for women was perverted.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody taught me how to love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the love that I showed her, I picked up out of my experience through life being with other women.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now, don't get me wrong. I still struggle today. But it's a learning process. And ask God to help you, and he will. He'll show you. He gets glory out of you loving her.
All right.
Amen.
Good job, Love you, bro. Love you. Real quick, man. Me and Charles be out in the yard, man, and our conversations go so deep into the spirit. My wife pulled up one day, and he will cry, and he crying, and I'm crying, and she like, y'all okay? And I'm like, yeah.
Allergies.
Pigeon flies, whatever. Brother John.
Man, Justin, nice to meet you, brother, and welcome. To all my brothers, I just think y'all answer questions that I don't even know that I have. And any question I do have, y'all answer it. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. And I just love y'all, man.
Love you too, bro.
Love man. You too, man.
God bless you.
Yeah. Brother Jerome.
Good night tonight. Next week, I want to ask you guys to be on. I think Todd got me teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you guys a heads up of what I'm going to be teaching about. I've been doing a study on what if there was no God and why we need God. Week, man, it's going to be deep. I'm going to get you guys involved. So I just want you guys to be prepared. It's not going to just be about me, but I just want you guys to think about it over the next week. What if there was no God in society? What if there was no God?
Amen.
It goes back to some of the questions that we answered tonight. But we're going to go get a little more into it. And I want to get you guys' opinions so that we can help anybody that may be listening to why we need to have God in our lives.
Okay.
What really would this world be like? Something to think about.
Yes. Good job, bro. Good job. I love you, man. This next week going to really be, it's going to be good. It's going to be deep.
Amen.
I don't think he made us burn too many time out like he did last year. We were burning time out. We're going to burn some time out too. I can promise
you. Amen. Amen.
Man, what a really awesome night, man. Brother George, great job inviting Justin. I want to make the round table. That's what I really want to do with the round table, to break up the monotonous of every Tuesday. It's great. But I want to really ask everybody, try to invite at least one guy. You know, people may not come, but they may come. A lot of people watching this. I get inboxing me and texting me. They want. They got questions. So let's make the round table more about
the people who watching us that, mm-hmm. that want to really, because most people ain't comfortable with inboxing somebody on here.
Right. Right.
Let's make the round table the opportunity to invite people on and get their questions asked, and we can make it about them and not about us and the word of God. And so, man, another great night, man. Even
amen.
Even through the beginning of how this started, man, and then
amen. God,
amen. I still shine. You know,
amen.
It was crazy trying to get on tonight, and all you guys want to get on so quick, and mm-hmm. I got 13 people texting me. I'm trying to
reach. Amen. Amen.
And I'm starting to feel some anxiety, and the spirit said, hey, it's gonna be okay. And I don't believe that because I don't know what's going on. But even
amen,
in this
beloved.
Even in this little small technical situation,
right?
He said, do you trust me? It's gonna be fine. I don't see it being fine. And mm-hmm. then I see boom, 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 everybody coming in. And I was, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So man, great job tonight. Brother Dakota, take us home and put that hat up, man.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother George. Way to represent. Amen.
You, Brother Dakota. Love you, man.
Yes, sir. I love you, brother. once again, good lesson on tonight. And Brother Josh, don't beat yourself up, man, about questioning and whatnot, man, because you already got a snitch already with Satan and whatnot. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's there already telling God what we're doing anyway and whatnot. You don't need to add that added pressure on your mouth. Just go ahead and repent. And just go ahead, if you feel that you did something wrong, repent and just keep moving on, brother. He shed his blood for the remissions of our sins, man. And don't worry about it. You just keep doing what you're doing. You'll make it in. Hallelujah. You believe on God and you put God first and you'll make it in. Justin, man of God, we'll be praying for you. My brother, man, just be a good listener and keep praying and just keep praying and listen to what she's saying. And remember, words can hurt just like a fist. And whatnot, be careful what you're saying and all of that stuff around him, man, and everything will be all right, man. Just amen. Put it in God's hand and watch God work, man. Hallelujah, God. We're going to go ahead and get ready to take it home. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. Your word says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for these brothers on tonight. Bless each and every last one of them. Hallelujah, God. Watch over, continue to bless Pastor Brother Rick, amen, and Brother Glenn in Jesus' name in his absence, God, and Dirty Bird in Jesus' holy name, God. Continue to watch over and order their steps in Jesus' holy name, God. Father God, we thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for the knowledge that was imparted on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I believe that we got just a little bit strong on tonight in Jesus' holy name, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let's take this, what we learned on tonight. Let us run with it. Let us tell somebody about it.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. Thank God for all of these mighty men of God on tonight.
Yeah.
Bless them and their families in Jesus' holy name, God. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Let's watch these Lakers tonight, baby. Watch these Lakers, man.
Yes, the Lakers. The Lakers.
Yes, the Lakers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Watch the Sixers. Watch them Sixers tomorrow. Yes, how about that?
Hey. Allen Iverson ain't coming through that door no time. Yes,
watch God them Sixers. Watch them Sixers. Watch them Sixers.
Purple and gold, baby. Purple and gold.
Purple and gold, man. Purple man eaters. Purple eaters.
That's love, baby. All day.
We gonna do the cookout thing. We need to make sure we set a date.
Okay. I'm just waiting for everybody, man. I'm pretty flexible. I all my baseball games are on Sundays, and I'm pretty free. All my Saturdays is really free. I find stuff to do, but my Saturday is free.
Prentice, you gonna bring your barbecue sauce? Because I heard about it.
Johnson, I hope that's an old hat.
Man, whatever, man.
I might bring a little bit, Jeff.
People sign a contract, and you go buy a Bronco hat.
Whatever. I've been had this hat, man. Hey, Tebow beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs, all I can say.
But I love y'all. All good right. night.
Yeah, y'all. Right, y'all. Hey, y'all read that 29, Jeremiah 29, 15 to 23.
We'll do it.
And text me your thoughts on it. Read all the way to 23. 11 is that flagship, but all the way to 23, man. When you know the setting and the scene, and read it all together.
So you said read Jeremiah 29.
Yeah, 29 down to 23. Because 11, we know 11 is the flagship scripture.
Right.
But man, the rest of that is really strong also.
Okay, got you. All right, got it.
All right, man. Text me your thoughts on it in the morning.
Okay.
All right, man. Love y'all, man. Y'all have a good week.
Love y'all. Bless you.
George, throw them hats in the trash. Donate them to the homeless people.
Hey, Todd. Leave my TV on, man.
You gotta watch yourself, cause
it's enough. I forgot. There you go, Prentice.
There you go, Prentice. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go, man. I love y'all so much, man. Y'all, I hate to see how y'all gonna hurt it every year.
If you get lost tonight, all you gotta do is follow stars.
Hey, let me ask y'all a question.
Tonight, follow the star. The star.
Let me ask you a question before we go. Is this y'all wilderness experience? 40 years before y'all get another.
Good night.
Well, that's bye. Okay, sleep. We got something.
Good night.
We got something.
Good night. Good night. Love y'all, man.
Love y'all.
All right. Love you too.